Sarat and Murciano in the afternoon. Tribune columnist Clarence Page is in Washington. Let's see what he thinks of the president's statement today. The U.S. sending up to 300 advisors, special forces, to Iraq to stabilize the situation. But he made a point of saying these are not combat forces. And I guess that's the meat of this message, isn't it, Clarence?
Yeah, that's the meat of it, and also that he's not calling for Maliki to step down. A lot of people would like for him to, but he also kind of hinted that he wasn't that thrilled with Maliki either.
Right, yeah. It's. I mean, I think most people are just having the reaction of, here we go again. What a mess. Are we getting back into it?
That's right. And that's why it's so important that he emphasizes that our forces will not be returning to combat. We're sending in 300 advisors, and their job is primarily surveillance. But he also mentioned that airstrikes are a possibility depending on what our intelligence efforts see on the ground there. But everything will be done in partnership. He emphasized that, meaning that it's primarily the job of the Iraqi government to protect Iraq. And he wants the various factions inside of Iraq to work together, which Maliki has been, as you know, falling apart on. He's supported the Shiites, his own ethnic group, but he's cut Sunnis out and even gone out and arrested a number of young, really responsible moderate Sunni leaders and all. It's so there's a lot Maliki needs to do.
Clarence. The fact that he is having this news conference in the middle of the day, calling attention to this in this way, what do you think is behind that?
Well, that's a good question, you know, because the big complaint about President Obama in recent days, especially from the right, has been that, you know, what's he going to do? He's got to do something. Not that anybody knows what to do, but they're calling for leadership on the part of the president to show what does need to be done. State his policy, show that he's doing something besides playing golf, as John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, likes to say. And it's important, I think, for the president to get out and really reassure the public that he is on top of the situation. But, you know, there are no good options in Iraq right now. And in that region, there's only the least bad option. And I think that's what President Obama is going for today. He's offering assistance to the government in the democratic system over there, you know, chosen by the democratic system that Americans helped to set up over there. But we're not going back into combat. We're going to do what we can to assist order and try to push back the threat of the jihadists in the ISIS, or what's now been called the ISIL by President Obama and others, and try to stabilize the situation and get a diplomatic solution.
So because there are no good options in Iraq right now, is this more of an image thing? Is he responding more as a politician than actually trying to make something happen?
I think, first of all, image is important. It's important that the president get out before the public from time to time, and especially at a time like now, and show that he is on top of the situation, that he is doing something, because he's getting battered every day by critics saying, oh, what's he going to do? But at the same time, though, he's not running for office himself. He's in the latter days of his two terms, and he has to show he's not a lame duck. And also that he is involved and that he has got a policy of some sort that he is going to implement and that Secretary John Kerry is going to have something to say when he goes over to Europe and the Middle East to try to work out a diplomatic solution here.
I know he's thinking about his legacy these days, but presidential legacies really aren't formed completely until years after the administration is gone, don't you think?
Yeah, that's right, as we well know. And it is something, you know, I think he's still fundamentally no drama Obama, even at a time of crisis like this. He, as usual, is not rushing out to make a decision, even while people on the right, including former Vice President Dick Cheney, of all people, making statements and, you know, publishing an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal that essentially calls the president something of what accuses him of treason, virtually. And I mean, this sort of thing, that's the sort of petty politics we don't need right now, and I think it turns off a lot of people. But at the same time, it is part of the reality. It is the job of the opposing party to keep the heat on. It's just that in this era, more than in the past, we're seeing criticism of the president that goes beyond our own shores. Usually on foreign policy, the opposing party gives a free hand. Obama's not getting that.
Clarence Page in Washington, appreciate your insight this afternoon. Always good to talk to you, Clarence.
Always a delight. Thanks for making time for me, Bob, and Marianne.
Thanks, Clarence.
We will take a break and then go to the newsroom where Steve Bertrand will update the story out of Washington today and all the news. The president just left the briefing room, ended his exchange with reporters, and we'll review it all for you coming right up. Here's Steve Bertrand.
Partly sunny, 77 degrees now at O'Hare. President Obama has just wrapped up about a half-hour session with reporters talking about the future U.S. plans in Iraq. He says the U.S. is prepared to take targeted military action there if it will help fight a growing threat from extremist militants. The U.S. also ready to send as many as 300 military advisors into the country.
American combat troops are not going to be fighting in Iraq again. We do not have the ability to simply solve this problem by sending in tens of thousands of troops.
But he says we will form joint operation centers in Baghdad and northern Iraq. He also touched upon the future of Nouri al-Maliki, not calling for him to leave as prime minister, but saying any prime minister, future or current, must do more to reach out. House Speaker Boehner says the president must craft a strategy for combating terrorism in the entire Middle East, not just in Iraq. He says terrorism has grown dramatically on President Obama's watch, and it's time for him to present a plan for curbing its spread. The village of North Riverside is looking at privatizing its fire department. Here's WGN's Kim Gordon.
Mayor Hubert Hermanek says rising pension costs and the state requirement that municipalities fully fund pensions have forced the village to make a change. He says nothing would be different for firefighters on a day-to-day basis.
It would be basically status quo at the fire department, except that instead of being employees of the village, they would be employees of paramedic services.
The village faces a $1.9 million budget deficit next year. $1.8 million is pension obligations. The village will hold a hearing next week. Kim Gordon, WGN News.
Illinois Congressman Peter Roskam is in the mix as House Republicans meet this afternoon to elect their leadership lineup for the rest of the year. The congressman is one of three contenders to succeed California's Kevin McCarthy as majority whip. McCarthy expected to be elected majority leader. There's trouble at the Secretary of State's offices around Illinois today. Spokesman Henry Hupp says the office's mainframe computers went down about 3 hours ago, causing a statewide crash.
It's been a rare occurrence where we've had a problem like this. But it did happen this morning, and it's something that we are 100% committed to getting up and running as soon as possible.
Until then, longer lines. We'll check your money, sports, traffic, and weather. All next on WGN.
Summer vacation time, and this is going to be fun because, as everybody knows, I have surfed every site on the internet. I checked them all out, what is it now, 48 billion?
Yeah, something like that, and you really do.
Yeah, and I can tell you that if you're looking for travel deals and travel information and tips and so forth, the most comprehensive site on the internet is JohnnyJet.com, and he's never in one place very long, but look who's in Chicago right here at WGN. Hi, Johnny. How are you?
Hello. Thanks for having me in.
We love when you come in person.
You have family here, don't you?
I do have cousins here, and I had an old girlfriend here.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. You should not even go there.
She moved out of town, luckily.
Mr. Married Man.
How many miles do you put on about every year?
Not a crazy amount, but 150,000.
And you live out west, though, right?
I live in Los Angeles. I travel to about 20 countries a year.
And on the website, you really sort of, is it right to say it's a, what do they call it, an aggregator? What do you do?
They kind of call it a portal.
A portal.
So I sit there and I link to everything on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I try and put out the best deals or news, travel news. Everything's travel related.
So if you go to one website, you go to johnnyjet.com, you got everything covered, right?
Not everything, but I'll tell you where to go.
Okay.
Yeah, not only will you tell us where to go, but also if we go from your site to other sites, then you also have some deals, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I linked, all the different providers give me deals, like Travelzoo, Travel Spike, all the cruise lines, everyone. So they'll send me the best deals, and I'll put them in my newsletter. And I'll say, hey, okay, I'll just weed through them and say, okay, this is a really good deal.
JohnnyJet.com. And lo and behold, this man travels everywhere all the time, but he found a place he likes right here. There's a hotel that you dig here, isn't there?
Well, there's a lot of hotels I dig here, but I'm right now, they've just put me up at the Hyatt place. I'm here for GoGo, the in-flight internet, and they had a big media event, and they brought me in, and they put everyone up at the Hyatt place, which was a nice hotel. It's not expensive. And it's a good location, but I was just walking by the Trump.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
I haven't been in there.
You like his name on the building?
You know what? I saw the uproar about it. It doesn't seem that bad.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I feel.
It's people who don't like the Donald, really. But you wrote on your website about the Godfrey Hotel in Chicago, and I don't know that I even know about this.
That was one of the deals. You know what? Someone else put that in there. That was one of my writers who found that deal. I now have 40 writers writing for me.
That's in the River North neighborhood, and there's it's a good place, I guess, to recommend to folks coming in. Huh?
I'm embarrassed to say I didn't even read that. I missed that one.
You ought to read your own newsletter, Johnny. It's very entertaining and informative.
It's very informative, and I love, like, the topics that you cover are great things. Like, for example, the travel tip of the day, turn off your phone while cruising. And what would be the reason for that? Just to enjoy it more?
Well, I just did a cruise. I brought my dad. I did Barcelona to France, Monaco, Italy. It's going to be similar to the one that you guys are doing.
Sounds like our cruise.
Yeah, but you turn off your phone to save money, don't you?
Well, I have T-Mobile. So T-Mobile, and what's great about T-Mobile is they have 120, you have free data in 120 plus countries. And I knew they were France and Italy. So I left my phone on when I left Barcelona. I wake up in the morning and it says, "Welcome to Iceland." I'm like, where did the captain go? It's nowhere near Iceland. And then it said,
wow,
you just accrued over $100 in fees. And then I got home and it had $380 in fees. And I was like, oh my gosh, because it's usually free. So I called up T-Mobile. Luckily, they took it off. But I think I had a really good agent. I don't know if that's going to happen every time. So the moral of the story is turn your cell phone off, or at least turn the roaming off, or put it in airplane mode and just use
roaming.
Wi-Fi.
And then you use Wi-Fi. Can you still use your phone then?
Well, not on the cruise, you can't. I mean, you can, but they have expensive Wi-Fi. So you can do it in port.
In port. Okay. Yeah. So we won't be talking to anybody from the cruise.
I mean, they have it. It's just expensive.
The Godfrey, by the way, one of the things about that hotel in River North, they say that the rooftop there, the urban roofscape, it's Chicago's largest indoor-outdoor space, 15,000 square feet on the hotel's fourth floor, uninterrupted views of downtown Chicago, and they have a retractable roof. See, I didn't even know this, the Godfrey Hotel.
I didn't
Chicago.
Either, and it was on my site.
That? That's what's what about good deals now? It seems like there are no good deals anymore because the airlines have cut back on flights. It's expensive to go anywhere and everywhere. You have any good tips for us this
definitely
summer?
Definitely getting more expensive, but you're not out of luck. The best thing to do is to sign up to different newsletters, not just mine, but you want to sign up to Airfare Watchdog, theflightdeal.com, any airline that you like to fly. So I get American and United's email every week. And then on Tuesday it comes out and they had their deals for this weekend. And American also has them for next weekend. Some of them are good, some of them are not. But
I find that all these...
they're last minute.
I don't care. I mean, if it's last minute and it's going somewhere I'd like to go, then fine, but it's like last minute to go to, fly to Detroit or fly to...
This week is Tulsa.
Tulsa?
This week's Tulsa, 194 from Chicago.
But what am I going to do in Tulsa?
I know, that's a problem.
Well, you also have to be single, I think, too. That helps.
They do have one. United has one for Atlantic City this weekend for $221. So you can go to Atlantic City and then take the train to New York City. So that's there's.
So you have to have a lot of days to travel. You have to have time.
Well, these deals are usually you have to leave after 7 o'clock on Friday and return Monday or Tuesday. But the secret is you need to be flexible. And that's the only way you're going to save money this summer. You cannot fly on a Friday or a Sunday. There's no reason for the airline to give you a deal.
Because everybody is flying Friday.
Everyone's flying. Everyone wants it. So you got to try and fly Tuesday or Wednesday or Saturday.
You know what I've been reading about lately? Hotel deals. And these folks have started these websites now where they go for last-minute hotel deals
that aren't
widely publicized. Yeah, we'll talk about that. What's that all about?
I used Hotel Tonight the other night in New York City. My dad and I were in Puerto Rico over the weekend, and on Saturday night I was going to go to Connecticut to see my family, but I had a last-minute flight to go to Atlanta for Delta, so I just logged on to Hotel Tonight. It's an app. You can only book it through an app. Hotel Tonight, it's a free download. Over millions of people have downloaded it. And what it does, at 9 a.m., it gives you those cities' deals. So I logged on to New York. While I was in Puerto Rico, I hit New York, 9 a.m., and I found a great deal, $179 for like a 4-star hotel.
That's amazing.
City. So, but it's usually only for one night. Sometimes they have them for up to 5 nights, but it's rare. And again, it's hotels who are just getting rid of their inventory last minute. And that's one way to do it. But, you know, you're rolling the dice, because if there's a convention in town, there's not going to be any deals.
It's Johnny Jett. We'll take a break and then talk more about travel. And if you've got a question, 312-981-7200. We'll take your calls. JohnnyJett.com. 312-981-7200.
On the Chicago River, hopefully on a platform. Watch WGN-TV Morning News
they
Friday.
They think of everything on that morning news. Talking travel tips and advice and good deals. Let's get to that with Johnny Jett, the proprietor of JohnnyJett.com. What do you like out of Chicago these days,
well,
Johnny?
For people who want to stay in Chicago, the Renaissance Blackstone Chicago Hotel is having a pretty creative deal for Chicago Fire fans, which is the soccer team here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's $199 a night, and you get 2 game tickets,
which is
pretty cool. And then the Hyatt Magnificent Mile Chicago, they have an Uber package. And Uber, by the way, is one of my favorite ways to save money when I travel.
Because
it's like a taxi, except
right.
instead of calling a taxi, trying to, you know, wait for the taxi,
right.
you just log on to your app, hit pickup. I did it last night here in Chicago.
Now, it's available here and in a lot of other cities. Is it everywhere?
No, and actually, there's problems with it in Europe, like in Paris and Berlin. I think Frankfurt, too, maybe.
In London, they're upset, too.
Yeah, not Frankfurt, London.
What do you mean problems?
All the taxi guys are in uproar because
sure.
everyone's using Uber because it's so much easier. It's cheaper.
Right.
They're cleaner cars. They're friendlier drivers. And because the drivers rate you rate the driver. And they always usually have bottles of water. And it's cheaper. And you don't spend any cash.
Yeah, but
your credit card's on file. You don't
right.
even hand money for a tip. It's included.
But
so everywhere in the world,
no.
basically, you can use it?
No. It's only in about, I think, 100 cities.
Yeah.
But isn't the issue regulating these cabs and the drivers? Because some of the drivers, are they former kamikaze pilots?
Well, that is the problem, especially the ones who are, they have an Uber X, which is like a regular car.
Uh-huh.
That's what I use because that's the cheapest one. If you take a town car, their limo, that's actually more expensive.
Than a cab?
And those are legal because those are all certified drivers.
Oh, I see. So you take your
but
life
I take the
in
Uber
your
X.
hands.
Hey, I've done it so many times, and all my friends have, and all the drivers have been great, and I love it.
So it's like somebody is picking you up, like just it's like
yeah.
anybody in any car.
Exactly.
Okay.
But
right.
but it shows you exactly where they are, so you know when they're coming. You don't have to sit there and go, okay. And you can also send your information to whoever you're going to go meet, and they know where you are. They can see the car moving. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, okay. But listen to me. If you're listening in a cab right now and you're a cab driver, I'm with you there in the cabbie. I have to give this Uber thing a little more time before I'm going to be comfortable with that, and more power to the cabbies.
You're a
okay.
good man.
And, all right.
All right, summer vacation plans, people still planning, trying to save money. What else do you got? Anything good?
You know, you want to try and leave on a Tuesday, a Wednesday, or a Saturday because you want to book in advance. So especially for Europe this summer, you want to do 3 months in advance, which now is too late. So you don't want to wait. You have to do at least 14 days in advance. If you don't wait, If you wait before that, you're going to just lose out. And
14. Not seven. I thought seven was the magic number.
No. The airlines are getting fuller and fuller, so it's tougher. So ideally, you want to buy usually around a month in advance. And then every time, a month leading up to it, every day it gets more and more expensive.
Anything to the tip about buying Tuesday that's better?
I don't believe that myth. I do price it out all the time, but I would set a fare alert. There's all kinds of websites that'll allow you to set a fare alert. So Fare Compare, Airfare Watchdog, there's Yapta, and you just put in where you want to go, the date, and the price you want to pay, and then they'll email you when that drops below it, and then you just jump on it.
And as far as hotels, are you always better off trying to bypass the reservation system and get to someone who's actually at the hotel on site at the property?
That used to be the case, not always, but I do hear about people who are buying, they see these email alerts from different companies like Groupon or whatever, where it has a really good package deal or really good hotel deal, and they'll just call a hotel directly. The hotel is not supposed to give you that deal, but sometimes they do.
Okay, and speaking of Groupon, I don't know if we have time to talk about it now or if we're going to be able to come back, take a break and come back, but I want to hear about these Groupon deals because they always seem unbelievable.
All right, let's do that with Johnny Jett, who is the administrator, the proprietor, the owner-operator of a very comprehensive travel site on the internet. I've been on every internet travel. I've been on every internet site, haven't I, Marianne? I've surfed every
site. You really have, yes.
And I can tell you, johnnyjett.com is a place to go. And time permitting, we'll get to your calls and questions as well. 312-981-7200. We're visiting with a world traveler, the man behind the comprehensive internet travel site, johnnyjett.com. And Johnny sitting here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue looking out here. You have to admit, you've seen all the great attractions of the universe, but what's better than this?
Not too much, especially this building. This building is honestly, it should be a must stop for everyone coming to town.
Tribune
just the lobby
Tower.
Alone. The lobby alone with all the quotes. I love it.
It is very, we take it for granted here, but it is something to see, isn't it?
And wait till you see the Walk of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be doing.
It's going to be better
right
than ever.
On the side, yeah.
You know what? I've always meant to ask you about this. How do you stay healthy traveling all the time? What's your secret?
Walking a lot. I try not to eat appetizers. Dessert, I have to because I'm a chocolateaholic.
Mm-hmm.
But
you're in airports all the time.
So I take stairs instead of the elevator, mm-hmm. especially when I'm on a cruise. I do not take the elevator except the first day when I have my bags.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Even if I have to walk 14 flights, I do that all day long.
What about food on an airplane? What do you do?
It depends on the airline. I usually eat a little bit, but I try not to eat the whole thing. But
right.
Again, I was blessed with very good metabolism.
Stay that way. We brought up Groupon before the break. What do you know about this?
So I used to subscribe to Groupon right when it first came out, and they had really good deals, but they seem not to be so great anymore. And my problem with Groupon is that they have a lot of fine print. So before you buy, you got to read all the fine print, and then let's say you're going to get a massage or something, and you buy it, and then the last week before it expires, you try and use it. Everyone's trying to use it, and there's no appointment, so you lose it. You lose
that.
Yeah,
that's happened to me with a massage. But what about these unbelievable travel deals that they? I mean, like you can go 10 days in Thailand or something for $1,400. It's almost like cheaper to go than to stay at home. I mean, how is that possible? Are those real deals?
Well, they have to be real, but you just have to, again, read the fine print or call the company before, whatever company they're pushing, call them up and say, hey, is this really legitimate? Can I use it anytime? And things like that.
Here's a call for Johnny Jett from Kathleen. Are you traveling, Kathleen?
Actually, I am going to I'm going to MIT at age 52, which is like blowing my mind. But
wow, good for you.
And I need to be on campus like 33 day weekends over the next 2 years. So, Johnny, what would be the best day to
33 day weekends? So you have to fly Chicago to Boston every weekend?
Every third weekend
okay.
for the next 2 years. So what's the best way kind of manage this expense?
Move to Boston.
No, buy them when a sale comes out. So whatever airline you want to fly, or if you don't care.
I don't care.
I think Southwest, Southwest, I think, flies Chicago to Providence. I'm not positive. I don't think they fly to Boston, but double check on that. Because okay. Southwest usually has really good deals. At last, like they have big sales, and then you can change their tickets for free if you need to change it.
Okay.
They don't charge a change fee.
I don't know if this is a fair question, but there's a there's an airline called Spirit Airlines, which I'm going for the very first time.
I'm not a big fan of Spirit because they have really tight seats. They charge you for carry-on bags as well.
They charge you if you want to like adjust your seat. Basically, right?
They're going to charge you for a seatbelt
to use the bathroom. They're going to be soon. No, but I'm only kidding about that. But Spirit, you just have to be careful about all the extra fees. So if you're not going to check a bag, or if you're not going to carry on a bag, it could be worth it. So if you have a home in Boston and here, and you're just going on with just your clothes on and a little briefcase, it's fine.
Thank you, Kathleen. Okay. Happy travels to you.
And Johnny, you were talking about Southwest Airlines not having a change fee. What exactly do you mean by that? That means that you can just change your flight?
You can change your ticket. You'll have to pay the fare difference if there's a fare difference.
And then I thought that there was some law that happened or something where now no airline did that.
No, they have to just print all the fees. They have to make it known.
No. What I'm talking about a change fee.
Oh.
So if I'm like the other day, I was flying American. And I would have loved to have flown a little bit later, but I didn't because I knew that if I went to the airport, there would be like a fee.
Well, it's usually $75 with American, depending on your status and everything. But you mean the same day?
Yeah, same day. Can you?
I'm going out today, and I was going to get on an earlier flight. It would have cost me $75 for a confirmed seat.
And what if it's not confirmed? Can you go to the airport? You're flying out today. Can you go to the airport earlier and try to get on standby? And do they charge you for that?
No, they'll charge you for that.
Unless there's
some kind of weather. Like I was in Toronto and I was flying to New York and there was a weather problem in New York later that afternoon. And I wanted to get on a plane sooner because I showed up to the airport early and they said, okay. One agent said, no, it would be like a $200 change fee. I'm like, that's crazy. It's an hour later. The flight's an hour later. The other one said, you know what? There is a weather pattern coming into New York and we're waiving all the fees. So check to see if there's going to be bad weather and then bring that up to the agent.
Johnny, if you get to Midway, you can take a Southwest flight to Boston. It was scheduled to leave at 1:25, but it's leaving at 2:15. It'll arrive in Boston at 5:40. I don't think you'll be able to make it, though, but they do fly Chicago to Boston.
Okay. Oh, they do? Good. Yeah. So that's good to know. That would be perfect for the last caller, but I'm not flying to Boston today.
And what airlines don't have the change fee besides Southwest?
I think it's just Southwest. JetBlue is pretty lenient, too. They have a lower fare, but it's Southwest is the only one that I know because the other ones charge $200.
Leave us with some hope to get a cheap flight. I know there are some things that just aren't going to break low fare like nonstops to Europe, but there are some cheap flights around, aren't there?
There are, and again, you want to be flexible, but you know, as I mentioned to the last caller, I didn't know Southwest flew to Boston, so I said check out Providence. So look at alternate airports because a lot of times you can find a really good deal. And you know, Chicago, don't just think of O'Hare, you look at Midway, you can even look at Milwaukee. If you're going to South Florida, look at Fort Lauderdale, not just Miami. If you're going to LA, look at Long Beach or Burbank or San Francisco, look at Oakland and San Jose. I mean, there's alternate airports all around.
Let's get one more call in here for Johnny Jet. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how you guys doing? I wanted to ask the expert how they handle it as far as they're charging you for carry-on bags now. Now, does a woman get charged for carry-on on her purse?
No. I was talking about Spirit Airlines. So they charge... They won't charge you if it fits underneath the seat, but if you want to use the overhead bin, they charge you, and you want to tell them in advance because it's cheaper if you do it in advance. I think if you wait till you get to the gate and you have a bag, they're going to charge you $100. I think it is.
Yeah, but the other airlines, you're allowed the carry-on.
You are. You're allowed.
Your purse doesn't count, right?
No, well, a purse does count. You're allowed one bag, one regular size travel bag, and then
a personal
like either a briefcase. I have a roller bag. But my buddy Spud Hilton just came out with this hashtag called Carry On Shame, which made Good Morning America last week and all this stuff, where people are calling out other people who are taking these huge bags on the plane. And, you know, they're holding up the whole plane getting on. So I have a problem with these people who have huge bags, but I really don't think, I think the airlines, a lot of the airlines have these sizers that are smaller than the bins.
Yeah, they're
and
smaller.
That drives me nuts.
Yeah, that drives me nuts too. But also, when you, if your bag is too big, then they take it right at the gate, and then you don't have to pay that fee usually.
But they're really cracking down. Like, I just flew Delta from New York to somewhere, and I was at JFK Airport, and they have a security guy before security checking your bag. So if it's too too big, you can't just gate check it. You got to go back in line and then pay the price.
They've wised up.
So, and I think you're going to see that all around the U.S. in all the airports and all the airlines.
What's the standard size of a?
I think it's 22. I don't know the exact. And the airlines are different. The plane cabins are different. But the bags, you really want to take a tape measure out. Look at the airline first you're flying. Find out what the measurements are, and then take a tape measure and do it to your bag.
And what is your favorite bag to travel with?
I have a couple. I have a Briggs & Riley roller bag that I put my computer in and my camera. And then I have a Roots leather tote bag, which I put all my clothes in. I can pack it so I can really push it down. And then what my trick is, so it doesn't look so big, is I take my sweatshirt out, which I brought today because it's too... If I put it in my bag gets too big, and they'll call me out on it. But if I take it out, tie it around my waist, I'm okay.
I'm glad Johnny didn't answer that question with another reference to his old girlfriend.
I really hope my wife's not listening.
JohnnyJet.com. Go there for more information on everything we're talking about. Always good to see you, especially in the flesh.
Hey, I thank you for having me on.
It's great to see you.
And remember, as you travel around the world and you go on all these television and radio shows talking travel, before they say goodbye to you, you should always say, let me just add that the people who gave me my start, Bob Surratt and Marianne Murciano in Chicago.
It's true. Actually, I used to do Travel Channel Radio with you.
And that's
then
right.
Then I did WTTW-TV, and I was like, this guy is so nice, so easy to talk to.
Read everything I wrote there on that paper. That's exactly what you need to say. All right. All the best to you. Have a good summer.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks, Johnny.